John is, he has shared an awesome, awesome song. What a message. If I had a sore throat and I couldn't speak, the message has already been preached. If you've been listening to that wonderful message of the love of God. Did you bring your buckets today? We're going to at least bring our imaginary buckets as we dig deep into the well of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I want to invite you to turn there with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, thank you for bringing your Bibles as we are studying together. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. He is dwelling in your life. You do not have to get down on your knees and pray, "Oh dear God, give me the Holy Spirit." You don't have to pray that prayer as a Christian. By virtue of the fact that you have said yes to Jesus as your personal Savior, as you accepted the righteousness of Christ, God has given to you the gift of the Holy Spirit. But get this, not every Christian has the Spirit's filling, the filling of the Spirit. And so there is a difference between the Spirit of God in the believer and the experience called the filling of the Spirit. And it talks about it right here in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, in verse 18. It says this, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what?" What does it say? "Be filled with the Spirit." Now, as we take a look at this in the original language, the Greek language, it goes something like this. Don't continue to allow wine to control your life, but allow the Spirit of God to continue to control you. That's what it's saying in the original language of the Greek. And this is what God desires. This is what God desires for your life and my life, that in every Christian believer who is saved by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, that we experience that filling of the Spirit. And here in the Word of God, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, this experience that is separate from having the Spirit in our lives, it's called the filling of the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Now, those of you that have your church bulletins and you're maybe following along the outline, you'll notice there are three empty spaces. I've found over the years as I've studied this subject of the work and the person of the Holy Spirit that there are other experiences that are described in the Scriptures that are speaking of the very same thing but expressing it in a different way. In other words, take a look at those of you that are filling the blank. Not only does the Bible express this experience by saying the filling of the Spirit, but it's also expressed like this in the Old Testament in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. It's called the early rain experience or the former rain experience. You want to write that down in your notes, the early rain or former rain. And then the Apostle Paul, speaking about the same experience, being filled with the Spirit, not only is it identified as the early rain experience, but it's also identified as dying to self. We're talking about the same thing. Dying to self, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. And then you go over to the Old Testament, where David calls this experience that is identified there in the book of Ephesians as the filling of the Spirit, in the book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, David calls it brokenness, brokenness. You know what? One of the characteristics of a Christian who is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill them is? Do you know what one of the experiences or characteristics of the Christian who is experiencing the early rain or is daily dying to self or is experiencing brokenness in their lives? You know what one of the characteristics is? Is theirs would be a life of thanks living. Thanks living. And we read about it right here in the Word of God. Keep your Bibles open to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Follow with me as I read from the New King James Version of the Bible. "And do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, notice verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Did you listen to what verse 20 said? Can you imagine that? He is telling us here to be thankful always for all things. Did you read that? Good times, bad times, rich times, poor times. To be thankful always for all things. Now, if you are listening and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart as a Christian believer, you'll have to say right on the surface, my, that's humanly impossible to do that. To be able to be thankful always for all things at all times, how is that possible? Humanly, it is impossible. And if you're thinking that way, you're right. You're absolutely correct. But through Christ, we can. We really can. You remember the familiar words that you have memorized possibly in Philippians, the fourth chapter in verse 13. Remember the words, I can do all things. Now, how is it possible to do all things, even to be thankful always for all things? Through Christ who strengthens me. And so how does he strengthen you and me? As we look at that text, how does he strengthen us? By the work of the Holy Spirit that the Bible calls the filling of the Spirit. Friends, the Bible is telling us here, the Word of God is telling us, if we allow the Holy Spirit who is present there to take more and more control there in our lives, he will manifest through us a life of thanks living, a Christ-like attitude. And so what's the big if? What's the big if? If we are daily being filled with the Spirit, if we are daily experiencing the early rain experience, if we are daily dying to self, if we are experiencing daily a brokenness of our lives, if we are daily seeking Christ who strengthens us. Now listen carefully to what I want to share with you. You know, as I've studied this subject of the work and the person of the Holy Spirit over the years, it is odd me to realize that this subject that is so vital and so important for us as Christian believers, the filling of a Spirit is an experience that God desires and requires and commands and is made available for the normal Christian life. This is not like some have black walls and some have white walls. Some have a red and some have blue. No, every Christian in their normal Christian life should be experiencing the filling of the Spirit. In other words, the normal Christian life is not just having the Spirit dwell there. The normal Christian life is allowing the Spirit of God to have us. Because when he does, he is doing what he enjoys doing most. He loves it. It's John, the 16th chapter, verses 13 and 14 again. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will not talk about himself. He will glorify me, Jesus Christ. In other words, when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to take control, when he fills our lives, he will enable us to glorify Jesus. The greatest of all gifts, Christ our righteousness, to praise Jesus, to talk of Jesus, to think of Jesus, to be like Jesus in our attitudes. And friends, without the Holy Spirit's filling, that is a mission impossible, even for a Christian. Amen? Yes. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will not speak of himself. He will glorify me. Now, speaking from my own experience, I have to admit that as an Adventist Christian, I have not always been a Gladventist. I've been more a Sadventist than I've been a Gladventist. And I understand a little better now. I understand why. Are you listening carefully? It's because I've had the Spirit, and that's important, that's good, but the Spirit hasn't always had me. Can you relate? There are those times when our attitude has been very self-centered instead of Christ-centered. There have been those times when we felt that we were right and they were wrong, and yet that Christ-like life attitude was not there. It was a million miles away. Self was manifested instead of Christ. How is it possible? How is it possible, friends, for others to see Jesus in us instead of self? How is it possible to change thanksgiving into thanksliving? How is it possible to come to the place that we can give thanks not sometimes, but always for all things? Even when things are bad, to still say from our hearts, to still be able to say from our hearts, praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. I hope you're asking the question I ask at this point in my study that, well, if being a Spirit-filled Christian will enable me to be a thankful Christian, will enable me to be able to have an attitude of gratitude, a Christ-like life, how do I do it? How do I do it? That's the million-dollar question. And here's the million-dollar answer. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians, the third chapter, Colossians chapter 3. I found it interesting as I was doing this study that I discovered that Colossians, the third chapter, is talking about the same thing. The Apostle Paul is repeating himself here in Colossians, the third chapter. He's talking about the same thing. Like last Sabbath, we talked about the fact that when the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives, that we will love to sing unto the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit takes control of our lives, wives will be submissive to their husbands, and husbands will be like Christ to their wives, and on. It talks about the same thing right here in Colossians chapter 3, but it changes a word or two that gives us further meaning as to what it really means and how we can experience this spirit, this experience known as the filling of the Spirit. Colossians, the third chapter. And we want to look at verses 16 and 17. Notice as I read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs. Sound familiar? Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Same thing. Now, the key that I really want you to notice here is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Apostle Paul, through inspiration, says, be continually filled with the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. And we ask the Lord, Lord, please make it more simpler. Help me to understand, what does this all mean? Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And he says there, what does he say? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. There it is. The same idea of being filled with the Spirit of God is to let the Word of Christ be in you richly. And so, friends, what are we saying here? If we want to be filled with the Spirit, then we need to take in the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ. We need to bathe our lives, getting to know Jesus as we get to know His Word, and we will be filled with the Spirit. And that's why I've said more than once, and I pray that it will be something you will memorize and you'll remember it. A word-filled Christian is a spirit-filled Christian. And he will enable you, my friend, and he will enable me to praise Jesus, to have a spirit of thanksgiving, not just once in a while, but not sometimes, but always for all things. Now, with the time remaining, I want to share with you a true story of a man who is, as it were, a type of what God's people are going to be like just before Jesus comes. We know this man to be a man by the name of Daniel. And I would invite you to go with me in your Bibles to Daniel, the sixth chapter. Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel not only knew about God, but Daniel knew God. Daniel was not only filled with the Spirit one day and not ever again, but he had a daily filling of the Spirit. He had a daily experience in allowing the Spirit to take control of his life. And yes, even when the business of life got out of hand, he praised the Lord anyway. And even on that unforgettable day, and indeed it was an unforgettable day, no doubt he had visited that place many, many times. It was a large hole in the ground, and most likely it was dug by slave labor. It was lined by sun-baked bricks, And there was this wall around the rim, and it was high enough that you wouldn't fall in, but it was low enough that you could kind of look down into this hole. And it was large and it was wide. It was divided by two halves, separated by a high brick wall, these two halves. And on one side, the lions were there. But on the other side, well, the helper or the keeper, if he wanted to clean out the other side, all he would need to do was to lift up the gate and the animals would come through. And during his off hours, I can just imagine that Daniel might have walked over there at times and watched the lions pacing back and forth, back and forth. And you've watched that as you've gone to the zoo. And as mealtime got closer and closer, they snarled louder and louder, and they leaped on the sides. You've seen lions and tigers do that sometimes, but here they're in this hole, and they're jumping up, and they want food, and they jump up so high, it almost looks like they're going to jump out of the hole. And so you can imagine, if you're watching, you step back. You step back. Saliva drops from their jaws, and when the keeper throws in a piece of meat, it doesn't even hit the floor. They grab a hold of it and eat it. And all that's left is the white and the red of the bones. And sometimes Daniel knew that instead of meat chunks, convicts and criminals, political prisoners were thrown in. And so one day, Daniel was in his 80s. And he learns that he is next in line for the lions. And we all know the story. We have probably called it over the years. I've called it Daniel the Lion's Den. You called it that too. Mervyn Maxwell in volume one of God Cares. I like what he's titled. It goes like this: God and the Lion's Den. Because you see, if God hadn't have been there, it wouldn't have been much of a story at all. Praise God, he was there. Now, the question that I want to raise today, in the light of this subject that is so vital for us in our growth as Christians, is what did Daniel do when he learned that he was next in line for the lions? What did he do? Daniel, the 6th chapter. Now, you remember the command or the decree was issued that no one would pray or should pray to any other god or king except King Darius. You remember this story. In fact, as you study the history, it was a very common thing for rulers to be as gods. They were looked up as gods. So what did Daniel do when he learned that if he was to pray to any other king or to any other god other than King Darius, only him and him alone, he would be thrown in the lion's den? What did he do? Daniel, the 6th chapter. I want you to read it again for the first time. See something here that maybe you've never seen before. Boy, it just jumped out at me. Here it is, Daniel, the 6th chapter and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and he prayed, and he, what does it say? And he gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. He gave thanks. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? What did Daniel have to thank God for? Thank you, God. I always wanted to go this way. No dying in bed for me. No. He didn't pray that way. You see, it was a habit for him to pray. It was a habit for him to pray. He was a prayer warrior. If Daniel was here today, he'd be here on Wednesday night. He'd be praying with the church. He'd be sharing during the sharing request time. Daniel would believe in a praying church. All of his life, he found something to be thankful for. And yes, believe it or not, even when he knew that he was next for the lion's dens, even when he knew that something was happening to him that was not fair, he still said, "Praise the Lord anyway." And that reminds me of a story For several years, a Christian businessman would sign his letters with the customary ending, "Yours truly, Jim Smith." And then in little brackets, he would put down PTL or PTLA sometimes. And some of his business partners, they noticed that. And one of the business partners said, "Well, tell me, what do these letters, PTL and PTLA, mean? You usually put PTL, but I noticed there are sometimes you put PTLA." And he said, "Well, what it means is that this is my way of always being thankful to the Lord in how he blesses me in every way, in everyday life. I usually put down PTL, which means praise the Lord." But there are times when things aren't going too well between you and me when it comes to our business dealings, and yet I put there at the end PTLA, praise the Lord anyway. I like that, don't you? Daniel, a believer in God, just like you and me, just like you and me, maintained his relationship with God. He was a word-filled Christian, and thus he was a spirit-filled Christian. And God enabled him to give thanks, yes, even into effect, even at this time, to say, praise the Lord anyway. Now, I wasn't there, neither were you, to listen to him as he prayed. But I would like to enter into the story as I would invite you to study the Bible. Enter into the story, enter into the story, enter into the picture. What did he maybe pray? What was his prayer that day as he gave thanks, as he always had? Could have it maybe gone something like this? "Oh dear God, it's been a good life with you. How many things you've given me to be thankful for. Why, way back when I was just a boy, so many of my playmates were going bad, and I was sorely tempted. Somehow you looked out for me and kept something in me alive that I wanted to serve you. And when Nebuchadnezzar came and so many people were killed, somehow you chose to spare my life. And when we got to Babylon, why, you impressed the king to give me a college education, the best there was. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. When my friends and I objected to the food that was served, somehow, God, you gave me favor with the people in control, and my, how that came out. We were healthier than anyone else. Thank you, Lord. We passed the test at top level. My, that was a thrill. And then, God, when the king had a dream and none of the wise men could interpret it, we were all about to be killed, and you saved not only my life, but my fellow wise men and my close friends. Thank you, God, for coming through for me. You helped me tell the king what it was that he dreamt about. You gave me messages that the God of heaven rules. Oh, that was good for my fellow Jews, and it was good for my heart. That someday, God, you will make everything come out all right. You'll come through as you came in through the past. You'll come through for the future. Thank you, God. And when my friends were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, oh, God, you were there with them. Oh, what a memory. Thank you, God. Thank you. And when Nebuchadnezzar was getting on in years, you gave me the experience together with him to lead him to acknowledge you as the king of the universe. Thank you, God. You helped me to explain the handwriting on the wall. Thank you for that. And when Babylon fell, you made me next to the king in my old age. God, what a life I've had. You've given me so many good things. You've given me a vision of the future. Lord, you gave me a vision in which I saw a lion and a bear and the beast I couldn't even describe. And you showed me that you were more powerful than any of them. Thank you. Thank you for that. And now, I'm in my 80s. And if you want me to die in the lion's den, Lord, if somehow that will serve you, that's all right for me, God. But there's one request that I have. Dear Lord, would you help me in this hour of crisis to so conduct myself that just as you helped me win Nebuchadnezzar for you, that you will use me to win King Darius for you. Thank you, God. Possibly he might have prayed a prayer, something like that. He gave thanks always for all things, even now, even now. What a philosophy of life. What a philosophy of life. This is awesome to thank God even when he's facing the lions, even when you feel like you're being treated unfairly, to have a Christ-like attitude. You say, my friends, you say to me, you say to one another, you're thinking in your mind, my, that is impossible. That's not my experience. And you're right. It is impossible, literally impossible. It is even impossible for us as Christians who have the Spirit. But it is possible if the Spirit has us. Without me, without a relationship with me, you can do nothing. Appealed, zero, nothing. To give thanks when the going gets rough, when it's dark, and you can't see any other way. God says to give thanks. Remember this. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, verse 6, those wonderful words. It is not by might, it is not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he will enable us, he will enable you and me, not to speak of ourselves, but to glorify Jesus, to glorify and to praise Jesus, to praise the Lord anyway. Oh, it would have been so easy, maybe to pray a prayer something like this. Oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do, God? Close the window? Hide behind the curtains or in a room somewhere? Well, what am I going to do, God? Is this the way you're going to treat me in my old age? I've served you faithfully all of these years, and when I was in my teen years, I didn't go wrong. The others did. I stood upright for you. It was tough, but I did it. And I ate a vegetarian diet, and what's to become of me now? Are you going to let me go this way after all that I've done for you? What are people going to think about me? Oh, I prayed a prayer something like that a few times in my life. Have you prayed a prayer like that maybe? But Daniel, who knew God, chose to serve him and to witness for him through a life of thanks living. Even when he was on the menu for the lions, he still praised the Lord. Anyway, the purpose of your life and my life is to give him glory. The purpose of our lives is to manifest the character of Jesus through us, isn't it not? Isn't that what it's all about? And so it was with Daniel, who was a type of what God's people would be like just before Jesus comes. Christ Object Lessons. Page 415 and 416, it's right there in your bulletins. Notice what it says there. The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory. In their own life and character, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. Wow, that's awesome. What a mission. What a mission. Daniel sought to glorify God. He sought to witness for him, even in the lion's den of all places. And as I look out in this congregation today, those that will be listening to this tape later, and as you look up to me, we will all, and we have all had our lion's dens, and we will have lion's dens, experiences, sickness, death of a loved one, problems at work, at school, at home, and in our church that we love, problems and temptations and trials. We've all had our lion's dens, and we will still have some. And you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That means that we will have many opportunities to glorify the Lord. We will have many opportunities to witness for him and to be a witness for him, to give thanks even when things go rough, to be able to still say, praise the Lord anyway. Thank you, God. The mechanic did not fix my car properly the 4th time. Ever happened to you? You see, the mechanic has seen many people. They come by the 2nd time and they're angry. He's even seen Christians come back and they're angry. saying something like this, why can't you fix the car? Don't you know I'm busy? I got other places to go other than here in this auto mechanic store all the time. Please get it done this time. The poor guy, he's frustrated. He can't fix it. He's done all he can. Have you ever tried to fix something and you can't fix it? What this man needs is a Christian. A Christian just like you and me, who can come back the fourth time and say, I know you've tried, and I really appreciate what you're doing, and if you could fix it this time, we're both going to be happy. Something like that. You see, he would never meet a person like that. He'd never have a saving impact on his heart and life unless we come back the fourth time. Now, since I preach this sermon, I'll have the opportunity to maybe do that. The Lord will give me that opportunity, and you as well. You as well. But may it go on record today. As I stand here before you, friends, what I'm sharing with you is literally impossible. It is impossible to do. Oh, we may be thankful once a year on Thanksgiving. We may be thankful and positive when everything's going our way. But to be thankful always, and to have a Christ-like attitude when it's going rough, when things have not gone our way and people are treating us unfairly, friends, that is like trying to saw sawdust. That's like trying to unscramble an egg. You can't do it. And it's not until we get that in our hearts and minds that we acknowledge it, that we can finally allow him to do what he wants to do. God wants to change our thanksgiving to thanksliving. My friend, you are a Christian. I am a Christian. We have the Spirit. Does the Spirit have you? Does the Spirit have you? Be continually filled with the Spirit, letting Christ's word dwell in you richly. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. Let us pray. Oh, precious Father in heaven, today you have reminded us yet again of your great desire for ourselves, our lives, to be like Daniel, to reflect your character, to be a witness for you, even in the tough times, to still be able to say, praise the Lord anyway. Father, by your help, as we seek to know you more and more, may we be your witnesses of thanks living in these last days of earth's history. To praise the Lord, and yes, to even praise the Lord anyway. Through Christ, all things are possible. Lord, may we take the time to behold you each and every day, and to know from experience that that which seems so impossible is possible in Jesus' name. Amen.